Welcome to episode 52 of the Fredcast, our second show for the week of January 15th, 2007. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. In this episode of the Fredcast, Cannondale recalls some 2007 model bikes, Oscar Pereiro, and a positive drug test result. The final teams for the Tour of California, Saul Raisin back at training camp, and would you like to be the editor of Velo News? Following the news, an interview with Paul Sanchez from 8wishes.com, some upcoming rides, shout-outs, and PodSafe cycling music. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike hammer, just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Welcome back to the second episode of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for this week. This episode of the Fredcast, like all recent episodes, is brought to you by Cambria Bicycle Outfitter, providing quality products and unparalleled customer service to the cycling community for over 20 years. Every week, I'm choosing some of Cambria's best products and placing them on a special Fred's Picks page. Check it out by going to www.thefredcast.com and clicking on the Fred's Picks link on the left-hand side of the page. Cambria Bicycle Outfitter, they outfit the world. Topping the news this week, Cannondale has recalled about 700 pretty high-end 2007 model road bikes. The recall was announced in Washington, D.C. by the CPSC, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, in cooperation with Cannondale. The issue here is that on these bikes, the front brake could potentially fail, causing the rider to lose control and perhaps fall. Now, these bikes were sold to Cannondale dealers nationwide from July 2006 through November 2006. The bikes cost between $3,200 and $4,500 U.S. The models affected are the 613 Team 1 and the Synapse Carbon SL1. If you have one of these bikes, the CPSC and Cannondale advise you to stop using the bike immediately until it's inspected or repaired. And if you haven't been contacted by Cannondale or your local Cannondale dealer, please take your bike to your local Cannondale dealer, or for more information, call Cannondale at 800-BIKE-USA between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Visit their website at www.cannondale.com or check out the links provided in the show notes. Well, there's a new supposed scandal in the world of UCI Pro Tour and the Tour de France and doping this week, but this one I think is much ado about nothing. If you read the news reports, it makes it sound like this year's Tour de France runner-up Oscar Pereiro tested positive for what could be performance-enhancing drugs. The situation is that, according to the French newspaper Le Monde, Oscar Pereiro tested positive in two tests for the banned substance salbutamol. Now, salbutamol is a substance that's prescribed for asthma sufferers, and apparently they found it in Pereiro's urine sample after the 14th and 16th stages of the 2006 Tour de France. Now, if you stopped there, or if you only read the headlines online and in today's newspapers, you would think that now we had our top finisher, Floyd Landis, and now our second place finisher, Oscar Pereiro, both being accused of using performance-enhancing drugs. The situation actually is not potentially damning in Pereiro's case, because Pereiro apparently had permission from the UCI to use salbutamol under what they call their therapeutic use exemption. The problem, however, is that there is some misplaced paperwork, or perhaps some misfiled paperwork, and that the proper forms weren't filed with French authorities for Pereiro to use salbutamol during the 2006 Tour de France. So it seems to me that this is really just a paperwork error. It doesn't sound like Pereiro is being accused of using performance-enhancing drugs, just that he didn't file the proper paperwork, or perhaps, like I said, it was misfiled. I think that this is all much ado about nothing, although it splashed all over the newspapers and the websites today. I think that over the next week, this is all going to die down once they get these procedural paperwork issues taken care of. So if you heard something about this and your friends were telling you, hey, look, it looks like once again, another Tour de France rider has been accused of doping. I think in this case, as I said at the top, this really is much ado about nothing, and it's all going to blow over. Meanwhile, the first place finisher in this year's Tour de France, none other than American Floyd Landis, has been summoned to France by French anti-doping authorities. He's been summoned to a hearing presided over by a 9-member panel of the French anti-doping agency. Now, he doesn't necessarily have to go there by himself, but he does have to be represented by a lawyer. And the topic of this hearing is whether or not they will allow Floyd to ever race again in France. Now, we all know that Floyd's case, as far as United States anti-doping authorities and world anti-doping authorities, is still open. Floyd has appealed, and we still have months to go before we're going to find out the results of that. But French authorities are now going to decide whether or not he can ever race again in France. Now, this hearing will take place on February 8th in Paris, and it's unclear whether or not they're going to decide on that date Floyd's fate as far as racing in France again. Meanwhile, I've seen Floyd quoted recently as saying that he really is hoping that he can win a second Tour de France to prove not only his innocence, but also his dominance in the sport of cycling. He does not seem optimistic that it will be in 2007, since his case still needs to be adjudicated before he's allowed to race again. But there is the slightest possibility that he might find out a positive result in the next couple of months, allowing him to race in the Tour in 2007. More likely, however, that if he is allowed to race again, that it will be in 2008. So Floyd summoned to France, but his defense here in the United States, and I'm assuming also in France, will continue. And speaking of races that were won by Floyd Landis, the Amgen Tour of California has finally announced its final roster for the 2007 Amgen Tour of California, and it includes the following 18 professional cycling teams: the BMC Racing Team, Colavita Sutter Home, Credit Agricole, Discovery Channel, Gerolsteiner, HealthNet, Jelly Belly, Liquigas, Navigators Insurance, Predictor Lotto, Priority Health, Quickstep, Rabobank, T-Mobile, Team CSC, Team Slipstream, Toyota United, and the USA Cycling National Development Team. Now, according to representatives of the Amgen Tour of California, quote, "With the tremendous success of last year's race and the very positive word of mouth among the professional cycling community, we were extremely fortunate that not only did all of the top teams from 2006, oh, wait a minute, let me interrupt that there for a second. I don't see Phonak listed there. Oh, well, let me go on. All of the top teams from 2006 asked to return, but we were also able to add some of the new favorites entering the upcoming racing season." And that's according to Sean Hunter, the president of AEG Sports. No doubt about it. Although Phonak is missing, although Floyd Landis obviously will be missing the race, 2007 Amgen Tour of California does look like it's shaping up to be another great race here in California. Now, speaking of Credit Agricole, one of the teams that will be joining the Tour of California this year, we've been following the story of Saul Raisin, the professional cyclist from Credit Agricole, who had a horrific crash last year and nearly died from brain injuries after that crash. And you'll recall that we've been talking about Saul and his amazing, miraculous recovery. And Saul is very much on the road back to health. Well, I noticed on his website recently that Saul was announcing that he was on his way to France to join the Credit Agricole team as they started their preseason training. And sure enough, there was an article filed yesterday on the VeloNews website by Andrew Hood, their European correspondent, announcing that indeed Saul had joined his teammates in France on the Côte d'Azur, looking to start working on his comeback for racing this season. According to VeloNews, Saul is quoted as saying, quote, "I've just been surprising everyone, including myself, on how well I'm doing. The doctors can't believe it. Statistically, I should be dead or in a wheelchair. At first, I just wanted to be able to live a normal life again. Now, I think I can race my bike again It's been a miracle. And there's no doubt that it's been a miracle, because here was a guy who was in a coma just literally just a few months ago, with his parents flying over to Europe to be at his bedside, hoping against hope that he would at least just come out of the coma and that he'd be able to speak to them. And now here he is at his team's training camp in France, getting ready for the cycling season. Now, it doesn't look like Saul is going to be racing anytime soon, but he's hoping that at least he'll be back to racing by the fall and back to professional form. Hopefully, according to the articles, by September, so that he can participate in the U.S. National Championships. In the meantime, Saul is getting ready for a charity ride that I'll be telling you about a little bit later in the show in our upcoming ride section, so stay tuned for that. Now, I told you recently about an effort that's going on in the state of Colorado to try to establish a Share the Road license plate for motor vehicles. And part of that effort is not only to raise awareness for the fact that cyclists are out there on the road, but also to raise funds that are necessary for Share the Road education programs. Well, now I'm pleased to say that there is a petition drive underway here in the state of California for a California Share the Road license plate. I've put a link in the show notes to the online petition. Now, they need at least 7,500 signatures in order to make a go of this, and they're just about halfway there. So they could use your signature. If you're a listener in the state of California, please go to the show notes and click on the link for the online petition and add your name to the list of people who are supporting a Share the Road license plate. I think that this would be a fabulous thing for us to have here in the state of California, as well as in the state of Colorado, where they're also working to try to get that plate. Those of you in the state of Texas, I've seen your Share the Road plate before, and I know that there are other states as well that have it. So please, if you're in the state of California, go to the show notes and click on that link and add your name to the petition. We could all use more motorist education, and we could all use with a little bit more awareness out there that we're on the road and that we need to stay safe. Finally tonight, I have a question for you. Do you enjoy travel? Do you enjoy seeing lots of cycling events up close and personal and meeting cycling personalities? Are you a good manager? Are you a decent writer? Do you have experience with things like running a newspaper, copy editing, proofing, writing, design, budgeting? If so, VeloNews is looking for you. Here's the ad that's on the VeloNews.com website. It says, sports publisher seeks editor-in-chief for VeloNews, the leading bi-weekly competitive cycling title and website. So, if you've got aspirations to be the editor-in-chief of VeloNews, go ahead and check out the show notes for tonight's show. Click on the job posting link, and you too might be the next editor of VeloNews. Oh, and by the way, if you should get that job, don't forget me here at the Fredcast. I'd be more than happy to help you produce the VeloNews podcast. I mean, you know, I have the experience. I have the knowledge. Go ahead and give me a call, 206-203-FRED. And with that shameless plug, I'll end the news for this edition of the Fredcast. You know, one of the recurring themes that you'll hear me talk about here on the Fredcast fairly often are the people who have the guts and the time and the wherewithal to set out on their bike, ride across the United States or some other large landmass in support of some cause that means a great deal to them. Unfortunately, one of the problems is that we don't really get a chance to experience that ride along with the riders. Sometimes they will summarize their day in a blog, or perhaps they'll maybe post audio comments or their own podcast to let us know what's going on out there. But I've always really wanted to see what it's like to do a long bicycle tour on your own in support of a cause. And I ran across a video by a gentleman by the name of Paul Sanchez. And Paul runs a website called 8wishes.com. And I got in touch with Paul, and I wanted to hear a little bit about his ride and learn a little bit about his website, 8wishes.com, but also learn about this video that I saw in which he documents part of his ride across the United States, 10,000 miles around the entire United States. And what I found out was Paul's also working on a film called Solo Ride, and that this video that I saw on YouTube was really just a trailer for a film that he'll be coming out with shortly. So I gave Paul a call earlier this week, and I interviewed him about his website, about his ride, and about his forthcoming film. So here's the interview. I hope you enjoy it. I'm talking today to Paul Sanchez from 8wishes.com. Paul, welcome to the Fredcast.
How's it going?
It's excellent. Thank you very much.
All right.
So I found your website, and we're going to get to that in a second. But first, I want to talk about this amazing feat that you did. I watched this video of you riding your bike literally around the United States. How many miles was that?
I think it was a little over 10,000 miles.
10,000 miles. How long did it take you? When did you start? When did you finish?
It was just under 7 months, and I took off July 7th of 2004, got back in February 2nd of 2005.
And what prompted you to want to ride your bike around the U.S.? I mean, you did it for a cause, right?
I did it for a cause, plus I love cycling. I've actually tried to do the ride before for a different cause that was close to my heart, but that ride ended for somebody, one of our riders got hit. Right outside of Seattle. So she's okay, but it just really startled everybody. So this second time around, I decided to do it by myself, just so I wouldn't be responsible for, you know, if anybody got hurt. If I got hurt, it would be me. So.
And before we get into the ride, tell me a little bit about the cause. What was the cause that you were riding for?
The first one?
Yeah, I know, on this ride that we're talking
about. Oh, on this one? It was it's for kids with learning differences and dyslexia. So we have a thing called 8wishes.com that you can see everything on there about the whole cause.
And so you did this, you said, all by yourself. I mean, no support? You were just out there riding by yourself?
Yeah, it's just bicycle touring. I had my sleeping bag, all my clothes, tent, gear to fix the bike. It's all encompassed in the whole, about 65 pounds of gear, I think. I started out with like 85 pounds of gear, but I think I got it down to around 64 pounds or something like that.
And so where did you start? You started, if I'm not mistaken, in Santa Barbara, California, right?
Yeah, Santa Barbara to Seattle to Maine, down to Florida and back to Santa Barbara.
Now, so you make it sound like such a short distance when you say it that way.
Yeah, I guess I've been telling the story a lot. So maybe no, yeah, it's all pretty much all four like sides of the U.S.
I was going to say, you know, Seattle to Maine is pretty far.
Yeah.
So where would you say you had the best riding, and where would you say you had the worst riding?
That's hard to narrow down, but I can do my best. I could just say the best riding was probably, because it's such a long ride, Minnesota was great for riding on trails. North Dakota was great because there's no one on the roads. Mm-hmm. And the worst was probably Texas, but Texas could have been great if I was prepared for it. But I was on Highway 10, and there was a lot of tire residue, like the little pieces of metal that would get inside your tires. Oh, wow. So I didn't have that many flats until I got to Texas. I got 12 in 3 days, like, or about eight or 12 flats in 3 days. So that really slowed me down.
And what did you find as you were riding across the country? Did you find that people wanted to talk to you and learn about what you were doing? And were they intrigued by the fact that you were riding 10,000 miles across the United States?
Yeah, everybody was really supportive. Plus, when they see a guy with bags on his bike and you're kind of like weathered from the sun, like your tan lines are really crazy looking and you don't look like you're in the right spot, you know, like, because a lot of towns, there's not that many people that ride bikes. And they would usually just come up and talk to me, and then I would give them a website, my old website I used to have. And then that was about it. I mean, people were really cool. I only had a couple bad apples through the whole ride.
So what was your best experience over those 7 months?
Best experience. Again, that's like almost impossible since it's 7 months, but I can try to reach for one. Probably there's so many of them. The Today Show was pretty cool because I knew it would help out my cause, and a lot of people came to visit my site, and that helped out because a lot of people, I was about to quit the day before the Today Show because I was out of funds, mm-hmm. And then people just sent me money, and I had two ways they could send money to me, either to me or to my cause, and people knew that I was out of money, so they sent it to me.
So you got on the Today Show. How'd that come about?
I just had to sit in front of the Today Show for like 3 days in a row because sometimes they don't have enough slots. And then the third day I got on there, and Katie Couric was the one that noticed me, and she actually got me on there. So that was really cool.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Millions of people watching you and learning about what you were doing and about your cause.
Well, the thing is that my project has reached out. Like, I think in the last 5 years, I have to be one of the ones that's reached out to a main, what's it called? A lot of people for touring, you know? A lot of people don't know about bicycle touring, and I've reached thousands of people, you know? So it's pretty cool. And I've connected with tons of people for bicycle touring, too, that went around the world and stuff. So it's been really great for bicycle touring.
So I actually get a lot of questions about that from listeners on the show, people who want to do a cross-country ride, and they just don't know where to find the resources. Where were you able to find all of the information that you needed about what roads were good to go on and places to camp out and things like that?
Adventure Cycling is probably one of the best places to start for maps. They have the best maps. I use their maps about 80% of the time because they have like little camp spots. They have what roads are best to take. They're not perfect, but they are. I would give them like a B+. You know what I mean? So they're pretty darn good. They're pretty good.
And did you do this on a road bike or on a mountain bike?
I did it on a road bike, a Giant OCR 3. So it's a pretty cheap. It's the lower end of the Giant bike, but it still handled it pretty well, and it actually handled the panniers and the weight and stuff fine.
And so I was surprised. And so, would you recommend that somebody do that on a mountain bike or on a road bike? Or what was your experience now that you're done? If you were to go do it again, would you do it on a road bike again?
Oh, if I had all the money I could get, I'd probably get one of the best touring bikes I could get. And but if I wouldn't let that stop you, I wouldn't let equipment stop you. I would ride it on anything. I've seen a guy ride on a Huffy before, but I'm all about cycling for anything. Just get on a bike and go. But I would get a specialized, like not a specialized bike, but a special bike that was just made for touring if I could have the budget.
And how did you get into cycling? Because I'm sure that you were a cyclist well before you did this ride.
I cycled since I was really little, and then got into road cycling in 1994. Just did it just to keep in shape. I just love riding. So I'd ride to college, which was like a 26-mile loop or so. Like I'd ride back and forth from there. And that's where it started. So where it really started with the touring, I saw some guy cross the United States, one of my friends, and after I saw the map, I was like, man, I got to do something like that. And then he went across, so I was like, I got to do something different. A lot of people just go across, so I decided to go around.
And before you did this tour, as you went around the United States, were you doing events, centuries and double centuries and things like that? Or if not, how did you train for something like this?
Actually, I didn't train because I was sitting on the computer planning the whole ride, so I just took off pretty much out of shape and got in shape on the way. So that was kind of disappointing, but it's grassroots. I don't have that much, didn't have that much manpower. It was just me planning the trip, so that's the way it went.
And are you still cycling, or are you tired of it, or is this still something that you do all the time?
I love cycling. I just I haven't had time right now to get on the bike. I'm kind of transitioning over to some more mountain biking too. I absolutely love cycling. I've just been sitting at the computer with this 8wishes.com thing I'm doing right now, so I don't know. We'll see.
Well, let's talk about that, because I looked at your video, and that was how I learned about your ride around the United States, and that's also how I learned about this great cause that you're working toward with 8wishes. Tell me about that, because it's the same cause, but you're going at it from a different angle. Tell us about that.
Basically, 8wishes is to promote my documentary Solo Ride. There'll be an hour-long video that I'll be putting out, documentary of the whole ride. So I've came up with these eight most important things I could think of, and I just called it my eight wishes for this video. So the first one was to raise $1 million. The next one was to get 100 million views on my little short clip trailer of the 5-minute video that you saw. The third one is to get interviewed by Oprah. The fourth wish is to get Paul Orfila. He's a businessman that has dyslexia, and that's what the ride is about. And I actually met with him, so that one's granted. But I want that in the documentary. Then there's Sir Richard Branson. I want to meet with him. That's one of the wishes. And Charles Schwab. Same thing as Oprah. They all have dyslexia, so I want to make sure that I can put that in my new solo ride documentary. And then I want to be on 88 sites just to get coverage. And then we want to do it all in 88 days. And the reason for the 88 days is it just keeps it interesting because it's so hard to do. But I think the power of the internet, we can get all these wishes pretty easily. So,
So Branson, Schwab, Orfila, I'm not sure how you say that.
Orfila.
These are major business moguls, and they have dyslexia.
Yeah, they do. And actually, I met with Paul Orfila for 3 hours, and he gave me a lot of his time, and it was like, I don't know, I just never met someone that thought like me so much, you know? Like, it was really cool. It gave me a lot of hope, so that was pretty cool.
So in a way, you're raising awareness, but at the same time, you're saying, look, here's people who are captains of industry who also have dyslexia, and they've conquered it, and you can too. No matter what you think, you can conquer it.
Definitely, and that and all these interviews will go into the final documentary of the Solo Ride, follow like the hour-long video of me going around the United States. The great thing about this is that it's bringing so much attention to bicycle touring too. Like, I mean, people have never even heard of it. You know, I get emails all the time that they can't believe that somebody does bicycle touring, and so it's touched thousands of lives for just that. You know, not just my cause.
That's great. So you're really raising awareness of several causes at once. Tell me, since you were out there all by yourself, how'd you video this thing? How did you make that work?
I just held it in like one. I just got really good at one hand videoing. So like I should tell this for the bike guys. So what I do is I'd hold the camera in my hand, and I could take my mouth and open up the LCD screen, the little screen that you have, and then flip it around, and then I could see the screen when I'm videoing. If that makes sense.
It does.
In my one hand.
Yeah.
So I had to do a lot of one hand things, because when you're touring, you can't go free hand because your bike isn't balanced right, you know? It's balanced close, but it won't do free. You can't just go free handed. So I had to always have one hand on the handlebar when I was videoing. So, but I did like 95% of my videoing was me, or 99% probably. And I set the tripod up, ride past it, and then go back and get it. So that was about it.
That's great. Now, of course, you know, folks, don't try this at home. Paul is a professional.
No, I wouldn't suggest doing that. It's probably not the safest thing. A helmet cam would have been nice, but I didn't have the budget to get that.
Oh, absolutely. That totally would have helped, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Paul, I want to thank you for coming on the Fredcast. It's an interesting story, and I'm personally looking forward to your video. Just the little snippets I've seen online are great. And I will put a link into the show notes so that people know where they can find your videos and find your site. But real quick, tell us again the name of the site.
8wishes.com.
And that's the number 8, or is it spelled 8?
Both.
Oh, excellent. So 8wishes.com is where you can find Paul. You can learn more about his wishes and see if you can maybe help grant some of them, and watch his videos. And as soon as Paul's actual documentary is released, I'll make sure to let you know here on the Fredcast. Paul, thanks again. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
All right, great. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Paul. Personally, I think it's amazing for somebody to cycle 10,000 miles around the United States solo. And I'm really looking forward to seeing his documentary. Go ahead and check him out at 8wishes.com. And of course, I've put a link to that website in the show notes, as well as a link to his video. Definitely both are worth checking out. Okay, thanks to some great listeners who have sent in some excellent emails giving me some new upcoming rides to talk about. I've got 3 upcoming rides that I want to talk to you about. And of course, these are in the order in which they'll occur. The first one is the Zion Country Early Spring Century. This is taking place in southern Utah, February 24th, 2007. According to the website, enjoy the awesome beauty of southern Utah during this pre-spring ride. Leave the spinning rooms and the cold of winter behind and escape with us to Utah's scenic Dixie. Get an early start on the season and the warmth of the South. Join us as we ride to the entrance of Zion National Park on a leisurely route, that will allow you to get out on the road, test your legs, relax, and enjoy your first organized ride of the season. In addition, this helps support children with spina bifida. Distances. There's a 100-mile century, a metric century, and there's also a 50-mile half century. Again, this takes place Saturday, February 24th, 2007, and I do have a link in the show notes. Next is a ride that I teased a little while ago when I was talking about Saul Raisin getting to the Credit Agricole training camp. This is the Raisin Hope Charity Ride taking place in Dalton, Georgia, March 31st, 2007. It has a 15, a 35, and a 50-mile option, and this will raise money for brain and spinal cord injuries. Again, a link in the show notes to where you can find more information about that ride. And finally, a ride that was sent in by a listener. This was sent in by voicemail, and so I thought I would play the voicemail for you. Here's one of our listeners telling us about an upcoming ride.
Hi, David. This is Rick Bruce. I just finished listening to episode 50. Congratulations and happy anniversary. I wanted to let you know about a ride coming up. It's the kind of ride you love to talk about. It's a multiple sclerosis fundraising ride. It's called Coast to the Coast, and it's down the entire length of New Jersey, starting in the north and ending up in Cape May, 170 miles over 2 days. Very nice ride. I am the captain of Team Johnson & Johnson. Team J&J is actively recruiting for this May 19th through the 20th ride. And I would encourage anyone who's interested to email me at rbruce@prdus.johnson&johnson.com. Again, that's rbruce@prdus.jnj.com. Hope you guys can join my team. Take care. Bye.
Rick, thanks so much for sending that info in about that ride. And for the rest of you, please, if you've got some upcoming rides that you'd like me to talk about on the Fredcast, send me an email, thefredcast@gmail.com. I'll be happy to list your ride on the Fredcast and let everyone know about your upcoming ride. So send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com. Before we go tonight, I have one shout-out and one shout-out only. Despite the large volume of email I've been getting lately, there is one person who deserves to have his own shout-out on the Fredcast and his own only, and that's listener Mike Pompa. You'll recall that I've been talking a lot lately about Garmin's coming out with the Mac version of their training center application for Forerunner and Edge users, and that one of our listeners was going to go up to the show and grab as many CDs as he could, not grab, but get legally from the Garmin folks to let them know what we were doing, and then distribute them to Fredcast listeners who needed them. And a lot of you sent in emails asking for copies of that software, where listener Mike has been single-handedly distributing that software out to you Fredcast listeners, and he deserves a huge thank you and a huge shout out from me and from all of the Fredcast listeners who have benefited from what he's been doing. But what a lot of you may not know is that while Mike has been taking care of you and making sure that you got your Garmin software, he's also been nursing a broken collarbone from a crash last weekend. So Mike, I don't know how you've been doing it, but thank you for what you've been doing for me and for all of the other Fredcast listeners. And we just, all of us, trust me, all of us wish you well, because it is no fun crashing, and it certainly is no fun having a broken collarbone. So I wish you a speedy recovery, and I once again, a huge thank you for what you've been doing for the Fredcast listeners. And that's going to do it pretty much for us for tonight. A little bit of a short show because we had such a long show earlier this week with the interview with Graham Street on cycling nutrition. I've been getting a lot of great feedback on that. I hope that you've enjoyed it. And once again, if you want more information about Graham's programs, just go to www.thefredcast.com, and there's a button on the left-hand side that will link you directly to Graham's website. Before I go, just a couple of notes on contacting the Fredcast. As I've mentioned a couple of times, if you'd like to send me an email, go ahead and do so to thefredcast@gmail.com. If you want information or links about any of the things that we've mentioned on tonight's show, go to www.thefredcast.com and click the show notes link. Tonight's show is show number 52. If you'd like to send audio comments, just like listener Rick did, go ahead and do so either via the Fredcast listener hotline at area code 206-203-FRED, or use the send an audio comment link on the right-hand side of the page at www.thefredcast.com. Of course, we always appreciate it when you vote for us at Podcast Alley. There's a link on the left-hand side of thefredcast.com or in the show notes. And of course, spread the word, tell your friends about the show, and if you like, and you like what you hear, why don't you write a positive review on iTunes? We'd appreciate that. Our PodSafe cycling music tonight comes to us, as always, from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Tonight's music, really interesting story. This is from an artist by the name of Daisy Shane. Daisy is a championship surfer, and she is a model, and she is also a musician. The song tonight from Daisy is called No Way Out. There are links in the show notes to where you can find Daisy on iTunes, on Podshow, or on her own Daisy Shane website. Before we go, just want to remind you and thank Cambria Bicycle Outfitters for sponsoring the Fredcast. Do click that Fred's Picks button on the left-hand side of www.thefredcast.com for Cambria Bicycle Outfitter. That's going to do it for the show. We'll be back again next week. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.